Hello everyone, we are going to reconvene the meeting. Regarding to this part of the session, we are going to discuss the topic of when to consider the alignment, which is about the question G3 of the request for information. So with that, I would like to hand over to Loretta.
Thank you very much, Jinqiao. So as you said, the question three asks how soon after a new requirement is issued, the board should consider any change for incorporation in the IFRS for SME standard. And the feedback on this last strategic and general question was more mixed. So the respondents via the comment letters and the online survey prefer considering only requirements that are effective and for which there is enough implementation experience. In contrast, the participants to the outreach events prefer considering requirement issued up to the date of publication of the request for information. And the stakeholders also suggested that the board has some flexibility. For example, major amendments could be considered only if they are effective, while minor amendments could be considered earlier if they are issued. As a staff, we think that the feedback from stakeholders who engage during the consultation provide evidence for the SMIG to recommend that the board consider alignment only of the requirements that are effective at the publication date of the request for information. As already mentioned by Michelle earlier when she was reacting to bidding comment, this second comprehensive review includes many IFRS standards in its scope, in part because it re-examines some of the IFRS standards that were in the scope of the first comprehensive review. So to avoid having too many new requirements in the scope of the next review, we think that the SMIG should recommend that the board reach a decision on alignment for the standards that are in the scope of this review, rather than defer the decision to the next review. And with this introduction, I would now hand over to the SMIG members for the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Loretta. Any questions or comments? Billy, you are the first.
Thank you, Jianqiao. I'm thinking whether we can have a mixed approach. That means for amendments to IFRS standard and the IFRS implementation to include those in the IFRS for SME standard for those that are effective before the publication date of the request for information. But for those, why so? Because, you know, the IFRS for SME already contain the mother standard or the base standard therein. For those new IFRS standard, I think it's a compromise. Of course, it will be better to be after PIR, but that will be too long. So perhaps for IFRS standard that have been effective for a period, say 2 years before the publication date for request for information. That means it's not one approach, two approach, two different timing.
Thank you, Billing. Yeah, very clear new idea. Thank you. Carmen, please.
Hi, I guess my thoughts were a little bit similar to Biling in that do we have to have one for everything? Because I think there may be cases there are certain standards and we go, we really think that should be in because it's such a big change. And if we have a policy that says we have to wait till it's effective, I'm not sure that's right. So I don't know whether we need a policy but could have a little bit of flexibility, or we have flexibility and don't need a set policy. And it's kind of on a standard by standard basis.
Thanks, Carmen. Una, please.
And I suppose my thoughts were quite similar to that, in that like, I think when we go out for the request for information, we probably should address the standards that are effective at that date. But there probably should be the flexibility, like, for example, phase two of the IBOR reform. It would seem to me that if that is still necessary by the time the standard becomes effective, which it may not be, it would be an important relief to have available if people were still going through the LIBOR update. The US have deferred that now for 2023, and we don't know whether it's going to be deferred longer. So if people have hedging, they may very well need that. So I think we need flexibility. And I'm also think that maybe the decision or the recommendation of the staff that they would never go back and reassess the standard might be something that we need to think about, because in implementing a standard that maybe there's not a lot of experience on, we may decide to align with parts, but maybe not other parts. Whereas in the next comprehensive review, experience may have developed such that it now becomes appropriate to align with the other parts of that standard. So I really think that it has to be quite a flexible policy that we adopt with regard to what it is appropriate to look at in the comprehensive reviews. Thank you.
Thank you, Una. Very good suggestion. I think particularly you mentioned about IBOR reform. I think we discussed this issue before, but I think we will think about your recommendation later. Thank you. Jenny?
Yes, thanks. I think I probably have a lot of sympathy with those comments. So I think it's good to have some sort of policy, because I think that helps people understand the board's thinking and creates an expectation. But there does need to be flexibility in it, so that if there are things where there are good reasons to either delay or bring forward consideration, that can be done. I think that the date suggested by the staff of the 1st of January 2020 seems to me to strike a reasonable compromise, because if you think about the fact that you were already a year on from that now, so anything that was effective last year, there's already a year's worth of experience. We've still got to go through the exposure draft and then the finalisation and then the effective date of the changes to the IFRS for SMEs. So I think by the time any changes actually came into effect from that work, there would be a good body of evidence from the IFRS reporters that would provide some information to help IFRS for SMEs reporters implement, you know, their version of it. In terms of the point about, you know, do we go back and re-look at things, I do think on the whole that something should be looked at and a line sort of drawn under it. But there may be cases where new information crops up, or where perhaps a mix and match approach is taken to something. Some topics in a standard are considered at one stage, some at a later stage. I don't think that should be precluded, but I'm not sure that it's helpful to sort of to keep, if something's been decided at one point not to introduce, I think unless there's a good reason to go back because there's new transactions, there's new evidence, I'm not sure it's helpful to keep revisiting that decision again and again. Thanks.
Thanks, Jenny. Raymond.
Thank you, Jingchao. I think what's important from obviously from the feedback that we've received is that there's a need for flexibility. Flexibility in that while we, you know, it's important to wait to understand what changes to accounting standards are being made and the repercussions of the implementation, sometimes you may find that there's standards that need to have much earlier implementation. You know, we can't wait for a PIR process to occur, to be completed and all of that before those changes can be brought into effect, even on the SME basis. I think that school of thought also takes into consideration that I think certainly when you look at some of the standards that we have at the moment, IFRS 9, 15, 16, there's been a lot of work that has gone into that, a lot of learning that has gone into that. And some changes that have come out of it as well, because certain things did not work or certain things haven't worked as well as we, you know, what was initially envisaged. So there was a need to go back and revisit that. So I guess from an SME point of view, is that rather than sending them down one path that says, well, do this, and then not long after that, if there is a change to the accounting standards, to then have them go back and revisit that already. If we're trying to maintain a balance between stability of the platform and I'm using the word alignment very loosely here, and alignment with what is sitting in the rest of IFRS, then I think we must also then make sure that I think we only introduce those changes when they're absolutely, when they've been properly fire tested. And that way there won't be this going backwards and forwards all the time. But like I said, is that I think then built into that must be some flexibility, because there may be certain things that will need to be addressed more urgently than other things. And in that scenario, we cannot wait for a 5-year PIR process to occur. Thank you.
Thank you, Raymond. Very clear comments. Thank you. Reinhard.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to re-emphasize the simplicity aspect of the standard. And I think that stability of the platform is a big contributor to simplicity. And I would actually applaud the board for having the courage in the past to not change the standard and keep it stable. From my experience, the effort of maintenance for keeping up with changes in standards can be quite significant. And in light of keeping it simple, I would actually suggest that emphasis is put on, do we really need to make this change now? Can we not wait and combine it with other changes to minimize the disruption due to change? Because if you have every half year an update, the maintenance of keeping track of all those updates is quite challenging for SMEs. So I think that the factor of stability and making changes maybe every other year or on a planned time schedule would actually help with the keeping it simple and applicable in practice. So I do agree that flexibility is needed, but we should put emphasis on keeping it simple. Thank you.
Thank you, thanks, Reinhard. I think you prefer to draw a line in order to achieve simplicity. Thank you very much. Ayodhya?
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to again. I will also like to align with the principle that says we should have a policy that we incorporate flexibility. This will allow standard to standard approach. Reasonably, that timing is also key. If you say we want to go for another 5 years, we think it's a new standard that has been issued and amended. Amended, and you decide to wait for another 5 years before you did the review. Yeah, the last step, we have to make it simple, but not all the standards will be amended at the same time. So if one is subject to amendment this year, possibly that shouldn't be a difficult thing for the SME just to amend or to incorporate amendment of the one standard. So I believe there's that flexibility of other approach on standard by standard basis should be incorporated rather than waiting for the long time before we combine all the standards and starting to amend them all again, which may also extend for another 2 to 3 years before the board decide that the standard is effective. So I believe we should incorporate that flexibility and make sure that we adopt an approach on the standard by standard basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayodhya. Next, Paul, do you want to comment?
Yeah, very, very briefly, because I think I've concur with a lot of what has already been said. My initial view actually was to wait for the implementation review to be completed, but that view has changed. I've been persuaded by the staff view that we really can't wait that long. A proper comprehensive implementation review inevitably takes some time to complete. That being said, I do welcome some flexibility for the reasons given previously. Not least if, for example, there's some teething issues with the implementation of the new or revised IFRS. I think it's that, for example, might be a good reason for us to hold back. And then in terms of stability of the platform, I couldn't agree more that for SMEs and their accountants, stability is almost as important as the complexity or lack of simplicity of the underlying standard. It really is a big issue. So we do need to be cognizant of that. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Very good comment. Chi, please, Chi.
Thank you, Jinqiao. And I think once you consider alignment, it not only depends on the effective date, but also some other exceptions, just like the PIR. And I know IFRS 9 will go into the PIR procedures this year. And so we should evaluate such PIRs. How far does the PIRs effect, and if it's a very big effect, we must postpone the alignment date. And if the effect is small, maybe we can go on the alignment. I mean, we must evaluate how far does the alignment effections, and that's my view.
Thank you, Chi. I think you worry because we have just started to undertake a PIR of IFRS 9, and your concern is that whether the results of the PIR will have impact, because maybe we'll have some. I'm not sure, you know, what's the result of the PIR. So you have some concern about uncertainty,
yes,
arising,
yes,
from the PIR of IFRS 9. Thank you. Very fair point. Any other comments and suggestions? This seems not the case. Anyone want to raise any comments? Yeah. Okay. No. Lavetta, I think it's a very good discussion, very clear message. Do you want to respond anything about the so-called mixed, you know, approach?
I think we had a clear, I would say, concept around the need of flexibility. So we will report to the board that, and also try to combine flexibility with keeping things simple and try to minimize disruption, particularly not revisit previous decision if we don't have any new information. So I think it was very helpful. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, I think, yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Lavetta, and thanks all of you for your comments. And we will consider your comments.